The Lord's been kind of speaking in my heart about this, so I've been trying to get it together where I can deliver it, and so maybe tonight we'll be able to do a little better with it. Henry walked in on Sunday morning and was trying it, but I felt like we never did get where we need to be, so we feel like the Lord wants to preach again tonight. I remember years ago, Barry might remember this, years ago, God burned in my heart a message entitled City Life. Do you really want to live there? Do you really want to go? City life, is it for you? You ever heard that? I preached from Revelation 21 and 22 and that great city. And I preached on city life, is it really for you? You know, a lot of these little country boys, you know, they'll leave, you know, 10 miles up in the holler. They'll go to these big cities and then they mess their life up.
Right.
Amen. And then in the end, city life really wasn't for them. So I got thinking about that city life in Revelation 21 and 22. And I asked the question, is it for you? And it came to the conclusion, it ain't for everybody. Amen. There ain't no more oceans. There ain't no more seas. There ain't no more beaches. I tried. The Bible said there's no more sea. So there are people that's called themselves Christian. They could not live if it wasn't for the ocean. And if there wasn't an Ogle's water park where they could go strip off and go scooting down them slides, they could not live. So I concluded city life wasn't for them. Then I got to thinking about the way the Lord was dressed. You know, the Bible said John saw him. He was clothed in a garment down the foot. And matter of fact, the Bible said we're going to be like him, so I assume we're going to be clothed like him. So I said to myself, you know, evidently, city life can't be for everybody because it's evident now a lot of folks don't want to cover up. So city life couldn't be for everybody. And, you know, they're always saying up in heaven, always saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy. Well, I said to myself, you know, evidently, city life can't be for everybody because there's a lot of folk who don't like to talk holy. Well, now, why'd y'all get quiet? You know, y'all were up here shouting and praising God while singing, you know, and the church is out there praising God. So city life evidently should be, or y'all were trying to fool me. Y'all wasn't trying to fool me now, were you? Revelation 19, let's say it if you would. And we're having fun already, praise God. Amen. Revelation 19, let's begin a reading verse number 1. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory in honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said hallelujah, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, amen, hallelujah. And the voice came out of the throne, saying, praise our God, all ye servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife had made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, right blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus, worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Be seated, let me pray with you. Then we'll try to study this passage. Lord, I'm coming to you again today and thanking you, Lord, for all the mercies that our Father God you poured upon us today. And Father, we're glad that we have this opportunity to stand and to represent our Lord. And we're praying, dear God, tonight that the Holy Spirit of God would, Lord, just energize us and clarify our mind and put thoughts in our heart and mind tonight. That, Lord, would be your thoughts. And I'm praying, dear God, that you would cause your children tonight, our God, to be thinking about you and, Lord, to have their mind on you. And I'm praying, Lord, that the Holy Ghost of God would, Lord, touch hearts tonight. We certainly need you in these hours we're living. And we're praying, Lord, the hand of God would be so mighty. I want you to bless Rogersville Baptist Temple, Lord. I'm praying, God, the hand of God would be here like it ain't never been before. And that, Father, when they meet together, the Holy Ghost would bless and the convicting power would come through. Sinners would get saved and lives, our God, be changed. And Lord, I want you to help us now that we can be, God, witnesses for you in this hour. And I mean, God, have a real testimony that magnifies the Lord. And God, cause others to see that being a Christian, dear God, is something worthy of considering. Lord, would you do a work tonight? We'll thank you and honor you in Christ's name. Amen. I want to bring you up to this place for just briefly. Then I'll try to share this study with you from Revelation 19 tonight. And of course, I could give it a lot of different titles. A lot of folks have called it the four hallelujahs, and that fits. But where are we tonight in Revelation 19? Well, in Revelation 1, John the Beloved is on the Isle of Patmos for the testimony of the Lord. He is under persecution. They've exiled him to this island, and he's there for the testimony of the Lord. But I'm telling you, he is proof that circumstances don't have to regulate your communion with God. He's there alone. Well, maybe not alone, but there's probably some criminals on that island with him. But we find him in Revelation 1 in the Spirit of God on the Lord's day. Which means that no matter what somebody does to you, or no matter what circumstances you're under, it does not have to regulate your worship of God. You can worship God no matter where you are or what circumstances you're under if the heart's right with God. Amen. So in Revelation 1, we find him there. Then God gives him those messages to the seven churches of Asia. Then chapter number 4 is where you're nearly at. Chapter number 4, he sees this door open in heaven, and a voice from God said, come up hither. And of course, we believe that to be the rapture of the church. We believe that's the point in which the church is going to exit from this world and going to be with our God in glory land. So John is making his exodus in chapter 4, and he sees a throne there and God on the throne. Then, of course, as the book progresses, he sees the seven seal book and he recognizes that God lets him know that's the judgments of God that's going to be on this world. There's the seven seals and that seventh seal opens up into seven trumpets, and the last trumpet opens up into seven vials of judgment upon the world. Now then, the judgments have taken place, and Revelation 19 brings us to the end of the tribulation period. Y'all listen to me now. Revelation 19, we are at the end of the tribulation, and the millennial is getting ready to start. Chapter number 17, the great whore has been judged. Chapter number 18, the Babylon the Great is judged. And of course, the great whore is religious system. And of course, Babylon the Great is commercial, the commerce of this world, and God's going to judge both of them in his timing. So we get here, and those things are judged, And then chapter 19 comes in view. Now notice, if you would, in verse number 1, he starts off and said, after these things. Well, we're basically what he's saying here, I mean, scripturally, he's talking about after chapter number basically 17 and 18, where the great whore is judged and where Babylon is judged. And, of course, all the other judgment, I guess you could put in there. But he was after these things, then these things are taking place. Now then, they're erupting here in chapter number 19 with these four expressions of hallelujah. Did y'all notice as we read it? There's these four hallelujahs that are given out. Now then, I want you to look back verse number 1 again and notice what it said. It said that they were saying hallelujah. Well, what does that word mean? Well, the word hallelujah here, as it's written in Revelation 19, now listen to me now, look it up in your Strong's, it means to praise Jah, J-A-H, and that's short for Jehovah. So what it means is, praise Jehovah, or praise Jah, and of course the idea of praising here means to make a big show about. When you praise somebody, what you're doing, and that's what Barry was doing. I mean, he's trying to do it right, but he was praising me a while ago, and that always makes you kind of jittery, amen. And you don't really like it, but here's what you, and he was making a big show about me, which I don't really like. But nevertheless, when you're praising God, what you're doing praising God, you're making a big show about God. Now, if you're doing what you're doing and you're calling it praise to impress me, you've already got your reward. Because God said, you know, they have their reward. And you wanted somebody to recognize you, well, you got it. And so that's the end of it. But if you're praising God, here they are here in Revelation 19, and they're saying hallelujah, and they're making a big show about what God has done. And of course, our present day word for that is the word hallelujah, which means the same thing. Now I don't want you to turn, but just take my word for it. If you don't want to take my word for it, I'll give you the information later. But this word Jah, J-A-H, the Hebrew word J-A-H, is used about 49 times in the Old Testament. And of course, actually in Psalm, I believe it's 68, it's used one time untranslated. You'll find it in Psalm 19, and it says the word Jah, J-A-H. Well, what is it for? I mean, what does God use that word Jah for? Well, number one, it magnifies his durability. Now, here's what the Bible said. In Exodus 15:2, the Lord is my strength. And that word Lord is the word Jah. It means Jah, or the Lord is my strength. So that's telling me that the word Jah is used to magnify the durability of God. Is God durable? I'd say he's been from eternity past, and he'll end up beyond eternity future. I'd say he's durable, wouldn't you? I'd say that nothing's ever happened to him, has ever troubled him, amen. He's pretty durable. Exodus 17:16, it said this. It said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. And when he said the Lord will have war with Amalek, that means God's going to keep it up. And that simply is showing this. The way that word is used, it means this. That God is dependable, amen. If he said, I'm going to have war with Amalek from generation to generation, that means count on it, amen. He's dependable. Well, is this God dependable? You better believe it, buddy. This God we're serving tonight is a dependable God. When he said, I'm coming, you better know he's coming, amen. When he said, I'll answer your prayer, you better know he's going to answer prayer. When he said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved, you better know when they call right, God's going to save them, amen. So, neighbor, he's dependable, and it's used in Psalm 68:4 to magnify his distinction, used in Psalm 68:18 to magnify his desire, and on we could go. Now then, go back to chapter 19. I'm sure you haven't left it, but look in chapter 19, and we're going to label these hallelujahs. So number one, they're going to be the hallelujah, neighbor, of salvation. Now watch it if you would. Put y'all in verse number one. The Bible said, verse number one, that, well, let me get to it myself. It said, and they said, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. So that's the hallelujah of salvation. Amen. Now look at verse number three now. And the Bible said again, they said hallelujah. Why? Why are they saying hallelujah now in verse number three? Because the Bible said, verse two, and true and righteous are his judgments, for he had judged the great whore, and which did corrupt the earth. So what you got in verse number three, you've got the hallelujah of termination. They are elated that God has terminated the great whore. Amen. And can I say, my friend, these people here are saying hallelujah. By the way, did not make this clear. Are y'all listening to me tonight? I did not make this clear, but if you're born again, you're there. Did y'all hear what I said? If you're born again and saved by God's grace, what I'm talking about tonight, you're going to be a part of it. Because God's come in chapter 4 to take his church out of here, which means you're going to be there in chapter number 19. And when the great whore is judged, you're going to say, glory to God, hallelujah, amen. You're going to be tickled to death about it. Amen. Now watch your Bible. Verse number four now. So the Bible said the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and they worshiped God at that sitting on the throne saying, amen, hallelujah. Now what you got in verse number four is a hallelujah of not salvation and termination, but it's a hallelujah of adoration. They're worshiping God. Amen. Now look again now at verse number six. The Bible says, and I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and the voice of many waters, and the voice of mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And of course it goes on down, verse number nine, and talks about the marriage supper of the Lamb. So what you have in verse number six is a hallelujah of culmination. It's over, hallelujah. Thank God the day's coming when it's going to be over, amen. Now y'all still with me now? I ain't lost you, have I? Well, I don't find things easy, so don't let me lose you, amen. So notice back verse number one now. So let's talk for a minute now about the hallelujah of salvation. Now let me tell you what I'm going to preach on tonight. I'm preaching on why wait till then. I'm talking about why wait till then. Now how's that fit in? Let's see how it fits in. All right, number one, notice now the hallelujah of salvation. Notice verse number one, it said after these things. So evidently here, there's a mark in history that has something to do with them praising God. Is that right? So it's after these things that neighbor they're now praising God. Is there a mark in your history that marks your ability to praise him? Amen. There's got to be a mark in your history that when you got born again and saved by God's grace, or you cannot praise God. Praising out of the picture until you get born again and saved by the grace of God. So like they had after these things, I've had one of these after these things. Amen. After my conviction, after my repentance, after my faith in Christ, God birthed me in the family of God and changed me by the power of God. Amen. Praise God, I've had one of these after these things. How about y'all? Y'all ever had one of these after these things that puts you in a position to say hallelujah? Amen. Praise God. Verse number one. And so there's a mark that's involved here. But notice verse number one. You know you always do things better when you don't have to do them by yourself. Amen. Praise God. Look at it here. The Bible said, and after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, hallelujah. Thank God there's a multitude involved here. Well, I'm not being ugly. I really am not. Well, I can't help the way I look, but I'm not trying to act ugly. Amen. So, and you know, somebody said, say amen now. Amen. Somebody said, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Somebody said, raise your hand, you know. I'm just a little timid. But you know, you can, by the way, girls, thank you for your good singing. Amen. And you get up here singing. And you know in your heart, don't you? You know those other girls are going to say, amen. And you know that one on the end's going to say, amen. That in the middle's going to say, and there you are stuck somewhere in here. And you know they're going to do it. So what it does, it kind of entices you to be a little bolder. Amen. That not right? So here they are in glory. No, I should say, here we are in glory. Here we are in glory, amen. And so the Bible said, we got a bunch of us up there, praise God. Not one or two, but we got it. Oh, somebody said, you Christians are losing out. Babe, many of y'all, oh, you wait till we all get home. You wait till we all get home, amen. Wait till we all get there. Thank God there'll be a crowd of us, amen. He said, there's a great voice of much people there. Notice how large they are. Notice how loud they are. Whoop. The Bible said, there's a great voice. Brother Wills, I'm telling you, I can't hardly stand that loud noise in some of these churches. Well, brother, you got it right. Amen. There's going to be a bigger noise there than they are here. Amen. And he said, you're sitting now. Here they are. And they're saying, hallelujah. They're praising God loudly. And they're doing heaven. Now, why? Why are they praising God? Look at your Bible. Look at verse number one. Notice how it reads now. Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. Now then, can I ask you a question? Have you ever seen the day in which God needed salvation? Look how it reads. Look how it reads. It said, salvation unto our Lord. Is that right? It said, glory unto our Lord. They said, honor unto God. I can see glory. I can see honor. I can see power. But I can't see salvation. I can't see God neither needing salvation. So it must mean something else. Let me tell you why they're saying hallelujah. They're saying hallelujah because of what belongs to God. Look at it. Here's what it's saying. It means salvation belongs to Him. Means glory belongs to Him. Means honor belongs to Him. Means power belongs to Him. They're saying, thank God. God, it all belongs to you. Amen. It's not your salvation. Do y'all hear me? It's not your salvation. It's not your salvation. It's His salvation. Amen. I'm saved today, not because something I've done, but because of something He done. Hallelujah. He said here, they said, hallelujah, salvation belongs to you, glory belongs to you, honor belongs to you, power belongs to you. They're saying, thank God, we're praising Him for what belongs to Him. But wait a minute now, they're praising Him for the benefits of our Lord. Not just what belongs to Him, but the benefits of it. Come here now. See, that salvation and that glory and that honor, that power are His. But the benefit is He shares what He has with me. Whew. God. Did Jonah not say, salvation is of the Lord? Did the Lord not say, pray the Lord of the harvest. That means God's in charge of the harvest. Thank God. I'm glad His sickle one day came where I was. Amen. And pulled me in the harvest. Am I making any sense to y'all? They're saying hallelujah for what belongs to God. Salvation belongs to Him. Glory belongs to Him. Honor belongs to Him. And so does power. But I declare, Did the Bible not say that I am an heir and a joint heir with Christ? Did it not say that? If it said that, then that means His salvation is my salvation. His glory is my glory. His honor is my honor. His power is my power. You say, now wait a minute, brother, wait a minute now. Let's try this one on. Under you that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. According to the power, it's already in there. That power He's got, He's already invested in you. Did the Bible not say in Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you? See? No wonder they're saying hallelujah. No wonder they're saying hallelujah. No wonder they're shouting and praising God. Amen. And you're going to be there. What are you waiting to event for? What are you waiting on? What are you waiting to event for? What are you waiting to that hour for? Why are you waiting to them to praise Him? Why are you waiting to them to say hallelujah? Why are you waiting for them to honor Him? Why are you waiting for Him to give Him glory? Why are you waiting for them, my friend, to jump up there and pray? Thanks God, hallelujah. Thank God it's within. You're going to lose out on a lot of good practice. You're going to lose out on a lot of good practice between here and there. Amen. All right, look at your Bible. Look at your Bible. Look at verse number 2 now. Hang with me a second now. So He said, for true and righteous are His judgments, for He had judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of His servants at her hand. And again they said, hallelujah. And her smoke rose up forever and ever. Brother Wills, oh, it'd be awful to rejoice over somebody having to go to hell. They're doing it here. They're doing it here. Well, I know y'all didn't like it, but let's move on. Amen. All right, now then, notice this now. What you've got now is a hallelujah of termination. God is going to terminate, my friend, this great whore. Now, verse number 2. Notice involved in this hallelujah is the standard of judgment. Look at it. God said, watch what He said. True and righteous are His judgment. If God ever judges you, you can bank on this, and buddy, it's true and it's righteous. That loved one or that friend you got, you've been praying for, you're asking God to save them. And if they get out of this world lost, you better back up and you better say, not just say, well, where did I go wrong? But you better bow your face to Him and you better say, true and righteous are the judgments of our God. Amen. Amen, buddy, amen. So God's standard of judgment here is, neighbor, He is true and He is righteous. What God does, He does in truth. What He does in righteousness. Hallelujah, amen. Notice verse number 2. Notice the subject here that's going to be judged. He said, for He had judged the great whore. Nothing else? What do you mean by that? Well, that's an ungodly religious system that's empowered by the power of hell. Y'all listen to me tonight. How many folks are going to be in hellfire because of false religion? How many folks are burned and roasted in hell because of the Jehovah's Witness, or the Mormons, or the Roman Church, amen, or Islam? Come here now. And I don't mean to be ugly, or the Church of Christ, or anybody else that teaches something that ain't right with God. Are y'all listening to me? Trust in a false religion and you'll go to hell. Trust in wrong direction and you'll go to hell. Y'all listen to me. So, y'all go more to Kingsport up here than you do Knoxville, don't you? Huh? Well, when I go to Knoxville from my house and I go to Knoxville, listen to me now. When I head out to Knoxville, what if I did not know the way? What if I didn't know the way and I said, how do I get to Knoxville, Tennessee? Somebody said, you get on I-40 and you take I-40 west from where I live and it'll take you right to it. Then, and when you get to Strawberry Plains exit, just go ahead and exit off right there. When you get to Strawberry Plains, you'll turn right, go that dead end, and turn right again. You'll end up right there. Come here now. So they gave me part of the instruction that's right. They directed me part of the way. They gave me part of the instructions that's right. But right before I got to the crucial point, they turned me off. That's what false religion does. False religion, they talk about Christ. They may talk about his death. They talk about his burial, his resurrection. But right before you get to where you need to be, repentance and faith, they'll turn you to water baptism. Now, I'm not being ugly, but let me say something. These your children? So what if a false religion was able to get a hold of them? In spite of everything you taught them, a false religion got them and caused them to believe a lie, and they ended in hell. Would you be happy? So, if God said, whatever that false religion was, if God said, tomorrow morning, I am going to eliminate that false religion, would you be happy? I would be elated if I had a false religion that led some of my loved ones to hell. I'd be elated when God took them out. Is that not right? Look at your Bible. So the Bible said, here she is, this great whore, this religious system. Notice what she's done. The Bible said, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication. That's right. And boy, I'm telling you, we got a world full of it today. Amen. And the Bible said, notice now, and the vengeance of blood of the servants at her hand. God said, yeah, I kept record of those people that she slew. And God said, I've judged her, and the smoke grows up forever and ever. You know what they said? What? They said, hallelujah. You said, Brother Will, we're supposed to be loving people. We sure are. I'd like to see them get saved. But I'm going to be there in that crowd, praise God. I'm going to be there in that crowd, and every false religion that's led people in the false way, the wrong way, God said, I'm going to put that system under, and all my children are going to say, hallelujah. Amen. Now, y'all listen to me. So, why are they saying that? Well, I'm not sure I know all the reason for that, but I know they lost a lot of their friends and loved ones to false religion. But I will say this to you. The saints no doubt remembered the promises of God's word. Let's sink in. The saints, see, they're seeing right now the judgment of God on the great whore. The vengeance of God is taking place. Where did they remember the word of God? Try this one. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it's written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Hebrews 10:30. And we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. I got a feeling that this multitude is standing there and got the record that great whore's been judged, probably wanted to take things in their own hands a lot of times. No doubt. But somehow they were able to say, he's promised that he's going to take vengeance on that crowd. Amen. Praise God, he did. Amen. And you know what it brought out of him? It brought it. By the way, I don't know how y'all feel about what I'm preaching about right now. I don't really know how y'all feel about it. But I'm going to tell you one thing, buddy. What I'm seeing out of Israel, are y'all hearing old Brother Wells tonight? What I'm seeing out of Islam and the news media today just about makes me want to puke. Amen. About if I had some kind of power, I believe I'd like to take power in my hands if I could. See, listen to me. Islam cut off 10 heads of little boys and girls the other day and put them on a soccer field and used their little heads for soccer balls. Guess what the news media said? Come, guess what the news media said about it? Nothing. Nothing. I got a picture just this morning from on a text of this lady. That neighbor had been rescued in Saudi Arabia. She was a Pakistani girl that ended up as a slave to some Saudi Arabian. And they had abused her because she was a child of God. And they took a picture of her body, the backside of her body, and it was awful. Brother Wells, what are you saying? I don't know about you. I don't know about you. But I'm telling you, hang with me. Do you not listen to me now? Do you know that there have been more Christians martyred since 1949 than have been martyred all the previous years of Christianity? Y'all listen to me tonight. Matter of fact, neighbor, since the turn of the century, since Islam has become so dominant, there are murders and slayings of Christians almost continuously. What do you think I'm going to say? Praise God for Islam. We ought to just treat them like, love them, be kind to them. Huh? I'm for an Islamic man getting saved. I'm for a Muhammad woman getting saved. But I am not for the system. Matter of fact, when God wipes it out, I will say, hallelujah. And can I say this tonight? Ezekiel 36, 37, and 38 lets me know God is going to wipe it out. And I say, hallelujah. So why not say it now? Amen. Why not say it now? I know no need to be afraid of them. God's your God. God's a God of power. Amen. He'll take care of you. Just say amen. Just say hallelujah. God's going to eliminate them. Amen to God. Is that right? Don't wait till then. Go ahead and praise him now. Amen. Look at verse number 4. I'm getting done. Have y'all got 2 more hours? Look at your Bible, verse number 4. So the Bible said in verse number 4, and by the way, this is in the light now of the great Lord just being judged, and I declare if they ain't worshiping, look at it. And the 24 elders and 4 beasts fell down, and they worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, hallelujah, amen. And a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great, amen. Notice now, this is a hallelujah of adoration. They're now worshiping God, hallelujah now. Notice where it's taking place. Oh, notice where it's happening. Say heaven, yeah, but let's get a little tighter here. Where's that voice coming out of? The voice is coming out of the throne. Do you know where they're worshiping? They're worshiping around the throne. Praise God. That's still the right place to worship. Amen. When I truly worship God, my spirit and my heart is bowed down to the throne of the Son of God. Amen. God. Amen. Yes, sir. He said, they're there. This is a place of worshiping. Watch it now. They're worshiping there. Notice who's worshiping. The 24 elders. And that represents all the saved, both Old and New Testament. Notice the procedure they're worshiping here with. The Bible said the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down. That means they got an element of humiliation. They're worshiping. That means they're bowing down in humble adoration and adoring Him. And they're explaining, amen, hallelujah, praise God. They're worshiping the Lord. Can I ask you? How long has it been since you really worshiped Him? Come on, now, Lord, help us. Help us now. And look here, look here. Come here now. Come. I don't mean, and brother, I don't mean praise God. I mean, that's praises. But do you know what worship is? Worship. The word worship, preacher, you've told them this. The word worship, it's like a dog licking the hand of his master. He loves his master so much. And I used to have a big old red Doberman. Yeah, man. You don't remember that dog, Dayberry? Yeah. I used to have this big old red Doberman. And I'd tease him. I'd go out on the fence where I kept him, and I'd tease him. And I'd just stand around there, and I'd just stand there, hands down. I wouldn't call his name. I wouldn't pet him. I wouldn't say nothing. I'd just stand there. And he'd take it as long as he could. And then he'd put that long snout under my hand, and he'd flip my hand up. And if I didn't pay no attention to him, he'd do it again. And the first thing you know, he'd be licking all over my hand. You know why? In spite of him growling at me, he loved me. Praise God. He liked me. And he in a doggy way, he was adoring his master. See? And what worship is like, it's getting down and adoring him for what he's done for you and for who he is and how he's touched your life, how he's changed your life, what he's done in your life. It's getting down and adoring him, amen to God. That's what they're doing here. They're adoring the Son of God for what he's done. But that ain't what really gets me in this passage. Look at your book. Look at your book. Does God respond to worship? Does God respond to worship? All right, look at your Bible. Look at it now. So the Bible said they're down here worshiping Him. Look at verse number 5 now. They're adoring the Son of God. They're adoring God. And a voice came out of the throne. Whoa! Now look what it said. The Bible said the voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God. What? Well, it said praise our God, so it can't be God's voice. Let's see if it can be. Let's see if it can be. If it's coming out of the throne, who's on the throne? Are you? Is an angel? Who's on the throne, Greg? Both. You're getting closer. God's on the throne. And the Bible said Jesus is seated to right hand God the Father, God the Son on the throne. Do I remember Jesus on the cross saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Did Christ address the Father as God? Watch it. There's a voice that's coming out of the throne. And it's saying, praise our God. It's got to be the voice of the Son of God. It's got to be the voice of Jesus. And the voice of Jesus is saying, praise our God. Praise our God. Do y'all understand what's happening here? They just fell down. They just worshiped Him. And that throne is responding, praise God, to worship. worship. The throne of God is sending out a response because worship is happening. Good night. Look at it. Look at it if you would. See? There, here's what's happening. The throne of God, God the Father and God the Son, they're acknowledging their praise. They're saying, praise our God. It's like God saying, do it some more. Woo! Do it some more. It's like God heard what they said and he's saying, come on now. Do it some more, amen. Praise our God. Praise God. Amen. They're acknowledging the praises. Acknowledging, now watching now. They're acknowledging the place they have. Oh my. Look. Said, praise our God, all ye his servants. Do I, am I together that only servants can praise him? Am I to understand that only real servants of him can praise him? Otherwise, I'm going to be serving for another reason. If I'm serving because I want you to say, attaboy, I can't praise him. Because I want your praises and not his. Was that right? All right, now let's dig a little tad with me, a little farther now. Notice what he said here. He said, ye that fear the Lord, that is, he's acknowledging their piety. But I love the last four words in verse number 5. Both small and great. At this juncture, God didn't acknowledge no big boys and no little boys. God did not acknowledge nobody but servants. And he said, do it some more, y'all. Get on with it, amen. Get them hallelujahs rolling. Get them praise and echoing out, amen. Worship some more. Bless his name, amen. 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 Why are you going to wait till then? Why are you going to wait till then? Why not go ahead and get on with it, amen? What about going ahead and praising him now? What about going ahead and worshiping now? Don't wait till that hour. You're going to lose out on a lot of good worship between here and there. Amen. I'm done. Of course, this last point's an hour. I'm telling you. You go back, I wish I had time to deal with this. Right. But you go back in the New Testament, and when people came to worship him, Jesus responded. Every time somebody came and worshiped, he responded to them. Well, you cannot worship him without him responding. Amen. Praise God. That's right. Praise God. Woo! Verse number 6 and 7 and 8. Now I'm done. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude. And as the voice of many waters. Wait a minute, have I heard that phrase before? Huh? Let's see. And John said, I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and be turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed in a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps of the golden girdle. His head and his hair was white like wool, as white as snow. Right. And his feet, his fine brass, burning furnace. And his voice, as the sound of many waters. Wow! Hey, I've heard something about this voice before. Now, right? Could not. He said, now, I heard as it were a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. I call it culmination. It's over. He's reigning. He's reigning. The war is over. Come on, don't y'all get tired of fighting? Don't y'all get tired of struggling? Don't you get tired of resisting temptation and the power of hell? Don't y'all get tired? God say, the war's about over. Praise God, the war's about over. That'll somehow erupt out of my heart. Hallelujah, the war is about over. Praise God, the war's about over. I'm done. And he said, down to that verse 8 or 9, and he said, the marriage of the Lamb has come. The war is over, and the waiting is over. The waiting's over. The marriage is here. Praise God. And they said, hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. The war's over. If you knew that you'd never face Satan again, if you knew the power of hell never attacked your life, would you not say hallelujah? Woo! Praise God. I'd say it. Thank God, there's a day coming where I'll never face a parallel again. Why don't I just go ahead and say it now? Hallelujah, praise God. Hallelujah, amen. Thank God for that day. He'll be bound up and locked up in the lake of fire forever. Praise God. Woo. Praise God. War's over. War's over. The waiting's over, children. The bride's made herself ready. And the bridegroom's sitting on the throne, thank God, waiting, hallelujah. Wow. Man, when y'all say, look here. When y'all sang that song a while ago about the Lord coming, was anybody here, anybody in this building that didn't much like that song? That's a loaded question, ain't it, buddy? I mean, son, I'm one of that makes you really stand out if you raise your hand on that proposition. Brother Gibson, you know why folks enjoy that? You know why folks listen to that, enjoy that song about the coming of the Lord? Because they equate the coming of the Lord with it being over. It being over. The waiting's done. Wait. See, that's why we lifted our hand. That's why we said amen. That's why we said hallelujah. We were just kind of joining in a little ahead of time. Amen. What that crowd's doing. Said hallelujah. What are y'all waiting on? Well, I think I'll wait till then. Well, I hope you are the only one in this crowd that waits. I hope you're the only one. And if you're the only one, you're going to look like such a stinking oddwad. You're going to join in before you know it. Praise God. Right, praise God. What are you going to wait then for? Yeah, that's right. You ought to get it on now. You ought to say hallelujah. Praise God, Brother Wells. That's charismatic. I don't give a rip what they say. It's a Bible term, and God said amen, hallelujah. Now, I don't give this a hallelujah. I don't care. It ain't going to stop me from using it. Amen. Praise God. And by the way, it's evidently the term God responded to. And I'm for what he responds to, buddy. Amen. I am for it. I'm an introvert, Brother Wells. Well, okay. We probably ought not to be nasty on that one. But our pastor did say these are pews, not bleachers. You ought to quit waiting. What's your name, son, that got saved? Grayson. Did I say it right? G-R-A-Y-S-O-N. Grayson. Have you been in church for a while? Like all your life? Okay. So he knows something about praising the Lord, do you? I mean, you've seen people do it. Have you ever praised God before? That's good. That's good. Because you just try to be true to what you were. Amen. But I noticed when he's singing in the choir. Did y'all notice that now? Y'all didn't notice that, did you? And it wasn't like this. It was a... Yeah! See, they said hallelujah because they're saved. They had said hallelujah because God terminated the great whore. They said hallelujah because of adoration. They said hallelujah because it's over. Can I not praise him and say hallelujah? For the time is short and it's about over. Praise God. Praise God. It's about over. I sure would hate for it to be about over and me not be ready. I'd hate for it to be about over and me not know him. Oh my God. You better be sure you know him. Father in heaven, we love and adore your sweet name, and I'm praising you, Lord, for who you are and what you are. I'm thanking you, dear God, you've given us this passage for us to rejoice in. And I want to thank you for the liberty and freedom of preaching tonight. If I should have left anything unsaid that needed to be said, I ask you, Father, to make up the difference somehow. And Father, should there be somebody here that just needs encouragement, let him get encouraged. Somebody here, God, lost, let him get saved. Somebody backslid, God, please stir their little heart. Our Father, where they can yield to thee, and that, Lord, they won't have to wait any longer. They can get involved in God's serving and worshiping and praising you now.